The message today is going to be given by some of the teens who went to the LCMS National Youth Gathering earlier this week. The LCMS National Youth Gathering is held once every 3 years. The first one was held in 1980. This one was held in Minneapolis, and Zion has been participating since about 1995. So we've been going to this thing for about 25 years. And after every national gathering, we're grateful for the opportunity to share with the congregation some of the things that we've learned, and share with you the message, and maybe even a few experiences, a story or two. We never heard an official attendance at the gathering. We think it was around 22 or 23,000 participants, so it was quite a large gathering. And our group was 14 people, two girls from St. John's Lutheran Church in Aurora, Indiana. They were the only two from their church who were able to come, and they didn't have an adult leader, so they asked if they could come with us, and we said, yeah, we'd love to have you come. And then we had 12 from Zion. Our ranks this morning are a little bit decimated. The two girls at St. John are at their church doing the same thing this morning. We got one person away at a funeral. We've got one person with a vacation. A couple people let me know before the early service that they're home sick today. So there might be a little bit shuffling of notes because the two that are sick sent their notes in to us. So we might be trying to find those and share those off of our phones. But we'll turn it over to the kids and let them share the message that they learned.
My name is Ava Blankenship, and I'm going to be talking about the real part of real present God. So there are three main things, really, and the first one is real life, real problems. When we learned about God being real, we learned He knows we live a real life with real problems. Everyone is dealing with problems. We saw this firsthand during the gathering. Each day, we had a morning service. At the beginning of the week, the pastors leading the service gave a number to text with unanimous questions. The next day, they shared with us that there were tons of questions asking how to deal with real issues such as suicidal thoughts, eating disorders, racism, bullying, questioning your faith, and family issues. The pastors told us we all have real problems, no matter how big or small they may seem. When we face problems, we often feel alone, but we aren't. Psalm 46:1-3 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. This tells us God is always with us through our problems. When our problems are too big for us here on earth, they are real, and only a real God can solve them. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. God is with us through our problems. He loves us and is on our side. We can depend on God through our troubles. The second aspect of real God is that real life is broken and messy. Another way that we learn God is real is by acknowledging and accepting that real life is broken and messy. God knows life is messy because He went through life witnessing the struggles of the disciples. He is uplifting and encouraging in all of our troubles, as we see in Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. Everyone has problems in life, and nobody is perfect. People struggle with many things: alcoholism, self-harm, losing faith, and more. But we know that God loves us, no matter how big or messy our problems are. His love is enduring and powerful and extremely forgiving. Psalm 86:15. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious, God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And then the third aspect of real God is, because Jesus is real, I can be real too. Part of understanding our God is real is understanding that because Jesus is real, we can be real too. As humans, we often hide the real and bad things in life. One of the biggest ways we hide the real things in life is through social media. We only post the good. We don't stop during a fight with our family to take a picture to post. Jesus knows we deal with real problems. He was born a real birth and lived a real life. He knows the problems we deal with. He doesn't want us to hide our problems from Him. He wants us to be vulnerable and be ourselves. God made us in His image. Genesis 1 verse 27 tells us, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." God doesn't want you to cover up the perfection He created. He loves the real you.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Real, present God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Real, present God. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Real, present God. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Real, present God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Real, present God. Real, present God. Real, present God.
All right, so today I'm going to share with you the present portion of the little saying. So one of the nights we had a speaker, and his name was Jason Seaman. He played college football and then went on to become a middle school teacher in Noblesville, Indiana. However, one day, one of his students decided that he was going to enter school with the intent to kill other people. So the student walked in to Jason's class with a gun and pointed it at him and shot, but instinctively, Jason tackled the shooter and was able to keep him pinned down until the cops came to arrest the shooter. And thankfully that day, no one was hurt except for Jason. He was shot 3 times, once in the abdomen, once in the hip, and once in the forearm. As he was being wheeled out on the gurney, he had a moment of, God, am I going to die? But God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And in that moment, Jason realized that it wasn't up to him and that God was present and was going to keep him safe no matter what the outcome was going to be. And then he looked over in his gurney and saw a crowd of students with worried looks on their faces as they saw their teacher being wheeled to an ambulance. And all he did was look at them, and he smiled and he waved, though he was in the midst of great pain. So next I'm going to talk to you about my personal testament to God's presence. So recently, about a month ago, my grandpa died, and it was a very tragic time in our lives. It was very sudden. Thursday night, he had a successful heart surgery, but then by Tuesday, he was on life support, and that morning, we were driving up to say our last goodbyes. One of the theme verses for our morning session was John 16:31-33. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Which coincidentally was the theme verse at Camp Lakeview while I was a junior counselor. So we were leading all these campers in Bible study and letting them know that they will have trouble. God did not promise that we will not have trouble. And we were telling them that God doesn't leave us in that trouble. And those words kind of came back to me when I saw my grandpa in a hospital bed with tubes and machines all around him. And I just realized that God kept his promise, that this was his plan for our family, for my grandpa. He keeps his promise that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I know that my grandpa's death is not the end and that I will someday be able to see him again in heaven.
Hello, everyone. I am Jackson Lark, and
I'm Ian Cresson.
And we are going to be talking about the God aspect of things, just the fact that he is all-powerful, and he created each and every one of us the way he intended for us to be. So the way you are created, you may think you're not perfect, but in God's eyes, you are, because you are created in his image and the way he intended you to be. So if we were all like our definition of perfect human beings, the world would not feel as diverse or as real as it is right now, because we would all look the same. We would all act the same. Nobody would have a great deal of different personalities. The world would feel like a very dull place. And that is why God is all powerful, for making it as diverse of a place as it is today.
Yeah. So often we kind of disregard God's power. We see like the spectacle that he creates as just a water drop, but in fact it's a great deluge of all of his power. You know, the same God that created all of the land and all the seas and then all the skies also fearfully and wonderfully made you specifically. He is someone that died under, not just for your sins, but for everyone's sins, and under that specific real weight of your specific sins.
And another crazy thing to think about is God knows all of us better than we know ourselves. Like, he created a path for us during our life that he knows will make us a better person. And that just shows that he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he is even for us in Jesus. That is his image of God in the form of man, Jesus Christ. And as we all know, Jesus died for our sins, to forgive us of all of our sins. And what shows this is one night while we were at the gathering, we all had witnessed this skit where it showed a teenage girl around our age who was wearing all white clothing that seemed to represent the pureness of your soul under the love of Jesus Christ. However, it showed her going through a typical daily routine while she was in school. And each time something bad would happen to her throughout the day, she would get a stroke of paint on her perfectly white clothing, which represented an impure thing happening to her soul, and her soul constantly getting dirty throughout the day from these negative aspects and actions that were being done to her. The first action was, her getting up late, like later than usual for school and not being up in time to catch the bus. And of course, her mother was very disappointed in her throughout this act. In fact, she was quite frustrated too, to the point where she, and I quote, she said, "How could you be such an idiot about this?" But she did not have a very nice tone with those words. And this immediately gave her a not so great start to her day. So her mother, of course, put a stroke of paint right on her clothing, and she went to school all mopey because of this. When she had gotten to school, she was at her lockers, and going through her things, getting textbooks for various classes, and she was like trying to talk to the kids around her, but all she could hear was laughing. It was as if she was invisible. So after this part of the skit, one of the kids went up to her, another stroke of paint right on her perfectly white clothing, and this made her even more disappointed in herself throughout this day. And right at the end of the school day, when everyone was about to go home, one of her best friends walked up to her, and she was like, "Why didn't you FaceTime me last night? I was really looking forward to our call." And she, of course, had a very disappointed tone with this. And the girl in the white clothing, it was as if she was trying to come up with an excuse to why she didn't FaceTime her. And this best friend of hers observed that she always has time for this other group of friends she's been hanging out with, but never time for her. And she also always had time for these boys that she was hanging out with, but never time for her. And as a result of this little argument they got into, the best friend called the girl in the white clothing a bad friend. And this, of course, was the final stroke of paint on her white clothing. And this definitely made her go home super mopey and sad. And she just felt really disappointed in herself throughout this school day she had gone through. So, you know, at night when she's trying to ask God, why? Which is, I'm sure, a question we have all asked God at some point in our lives. And God asked her, "What is wrong?" She replied, "I'm an idiot, I'm invisible, and I'm a bad friend." Then God simply looked at her and said, "You are forgiven of all these impurities, for I made you in my image, and you are perfect just the way you are." And so God opened up his arms, wrapped her in a white clothing, and they hugged. And therefore she was cleansed again and made pure out of Jesus' love in God's image.
I have one more story just about how powerful God all is. Me and Chris went to go see a really good speaker. His name is Bill Yonkers. He likes to talk a lot about the liturgy and everything of the Bible. And he was talking about the original Greek writing of it. And he's talking about the different kinds of words for love. And if you don't know, there's four Greek words for love. One of them is for brotherly love. One is for like partner love or in marriage. And the other is for family love. And then there's a final fourth kind of love. It's the most special. And it's the love that proceeds from the Spirit, the love that you get from God and that you're supposed to love all your other fellow Christians with. It's really powerful because he's the only person who can have this kind of love. It's called agape love. And it's the most important in just, you know, our community.
Hi, I'm Diane Cooper. I had the privilege of attending the National Youth Gathering as an adult leader. It was busy, exhausting, yet extremely rewarding event to be a part of. And while hanging out in the sea of 20,000 plus people for 5 days with purple backpacks that people could identify us with, we got to experience a lot and heard a very important message. And the theme, as you heard, was real, present God. And we spent a lot of time on this and on Psalm 46. So over and over during our time in Minneapolis, we had multiple opportunities to focus on this theme. We heard about it at the mass events, the big events at the stadium, in our morning sessions, in our small groups, and many events at the convention center. God is real, He is present, and He is God. For real, Jesus is real, our problems are real. Therefore, I can be or need to be honest with those around me and with God. Present. God is always present among us. He is our refuge and strength. He is present in His word and through His people at church. And during this event, His presence was just very noticeable to me, with many God sightings, as I know we referred to it in VBS this year. What are some God sightings we saw? I had a conversation with one youth about diversity and discrimination. And then that night at the mass event, one of the speakers specifically talked about that. And I just thought, wow, that was really cool. Just another youth giving someone a hug because I knew that someone was struggling at that moment. Or our discussions in our groups, we had some really intense discussions, really insightful. I just felt like God was leading those. And then prayer times, our group prayers, maybe in the activities at the mass events. And just a song that I heard was called Psalm 46 before the event, leading me into that. So they were just feeling His presence with us. It was really cool. And finally, God. God is powerful. And they really stressed to think about what God can do. He created the world. Jesus rose from the dead. We have this amazing, powerful, and loving God at our side. He is right next to us. That is who is our God. He's not just some little weakling. He can do amazing things, and that is a really cool, and I know that I can trust in Him.
So I thought this gathering, I've been to many of these youth gatherings before, and this gathering did an especially good job of addressing people in their brokenness. And they did a good job of identifying the brokenness that's in our lives and in the lives of teens, various things like racism, suicide, mental illness, school shootings, spiritual doubts and questions. And so if I had to pick one highlight for myself, I would say it was being able to have some deep conversations with many of these guys through the course of the week and being able to share with them and talk with them about some of the brokenness that they're experiencing in their lives, in my life, and in the lives of just in the world around us. When you're together for 6 days and having an experience like this, it kind of deepens your community and builds relationships very well. And you get to the point where you're able to share on some deeper and deeper levels. But this is an important message, but this is not a message that we should keep to ourselves. This is a message that we need to share because we live in a broken world. We live in a broken world that needs Jesus. So I wanted to share a few brief stories. I won't embarrass anybody with too much anyway, with some specific things, but just ways that we can take, or that we saw God bringing healing into our world. And the first story is really fun. We had some leftover tater tots after dinner, and Ava decided to grab them and take them out to people she didn't know and just start sharing tater tots. And she made a lot of friends and had a good time, and a lot of people were just able to share in that joy. Our kids and many of the other youth groups started high-fiving the security guards at the stadium. And the guards said that they had never been interacted that way with a group before, and they were so impressed by that that they asked if we could come back and teach Vikings fans how to behave. That was pretty cool. One of the girls, Riley from St. John's, we experienced observed a problem. We had 6,000 gathering participants in our cluster of hotels. And so we had to take a train to get to where the gathering activities were held. So every day, 6,000 people got on the light rail system. Well, you can imagine that kind of potentially messed up some of the commuters who depended on the rail system to get to their jobs in that. And it did happen, unfortunately, a number of times where people wanted to get off at their stop and they couldn't because the train was so packed. They actually missed their stop. Well, one of our girls, Riley, noticed somebody who needed to get off the train, a commuter, and we were at her stop, and she was trying to get off. So Riley stepped off the train to let this lady off, and then the doors to the train closed. And so not only did this lady unfortunately miss her stop, but Riley also wasn't able to get back on the train, and the train pulled away, and Riley was standing there on the platform. But Riley kept her cool and got on the next train and met us about 15 minutes later. So it was okay, but it was just a way of showing. I think this lady was impressed with how Riley was trying to show God's love to her and be sensitive to her and what she needed. Our hotel particularly was happy with the guests from the gathering who stayed there. So these guys did a good job of being good hotel guests and making their jobs easier. And I'm not the type of person to stand up and do motions to songs. That's just not my personality. But some of the people in our group are very good at that. And on social media, the section where we were sitting in our group, along with some other groups, we got a particular shout out about the energy and enthusiasm in which they were participating. And that was significant because not everybody at the gathering was really motivated to participate. And some adult leaders were able to point to these guys and say, thank you, look, these kids are having a good time and are participating. And that actually did motivate other kids to do the same. So we have an important message. We have a Savior who meets us in our brokenness, and we need to share him. Our world is broken by sin, and it does need Jesus. So as Jesus meets us in our brokenness, we can also meet others in their brokenness and show them who Jesus is and what he's done for them. So I just want to take a quick moment, too, to thank the congregation. I know we've done some fundraisers over the years. Some people made some gifts, and we had a lot of prayer support. And so I just want to thank this congregation for allowing us to be able to have an experience like this with the teenagers of our congregation. So thank you so much. And also thank you for letting us share for a few minutes today a little bit about this powerful experience we had. So thank you. All right, you guys can sit down. And we'd like to invite the congregation to please stand up, and let's confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.